Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 54. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks for tuning in once again. And this is part two of the introduction to ham radio that I started in last week's episode. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, if you want sort of the background information that I gave last week to go ahead and listen to that episode first before you listen to this episode. Lots of great stuff in there. So I received some email this week, and I'm not going to read all of the emails. There was a couple of emails I received, and basically the question was, how do I cover so many topics all at once and stay into all these different things? And I want to address that really quickly because I like to be upfront with all of my listeners that are out there. And basically, So I sort of jump around quite a bit, and I cover a lot of different topics. And in the past, you know, we've covered topics on Google and Apple, and Linux-based topics, and basically whatever topics sort of pique my interest during that particular week or that particular time frame. Some topics last a few months. Some topics last a few weeks. Some are just one hit, one week topics that I don't come back to for a few months after that. So I sort of jump around quite a bit, and my recent fascination has been ham radio. And as I mentioned in last week's episode, ham radio is something that I knew absolutely nothing about 2 weeks ago. I was always interested in it. I always sort of appreciated that it was there. I just knew very little about it, and it was something that I wanted to get into, but didn't know where to start. Once I was pointed in the right direction and given just a little bit of feedback on some of the things that, you know, that I should be doing in order to sort of get into that field, then I was basically all in, and I was ready to go, and basically just needed somebody to point me in the right direction, that sort of thing. So when I discuss all these topics, I'm not staying on one topic and working on all these things all at once. That would be impossible for anybody to do. And just another heads up for all of you listeners out there that may have been watching like the live stream on YouTube and all these other videos that I've been making. If you notice, I've sort of slowed down the YouTube videos a little bit. The reason for that is we are gearing up at my school district for one of the largest concerts that we've had available to our students in a very long time. And we sort of live in a small school district. It's sort of isolated. And as the music teacher there, what I try to do is I try to bring in art and culture whenever I can to these students. And so in the past, we've done things like brought in the world famous Glenn Miller Orchestra. Later on, we brought in the Count Basie Orchestra, two of the most famous big bands, you know, that are around. And really was sort of an experience for all those students. Several years ago, we were able to get a military band in, the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors, to come in. And so we were actually contacted by our local Chamber of Commerce, who was looking to bring in a couple of any type of music for our area. And we tried to get a military band again, but the schedule, the military bands were on tour in another part of the country. And so basically I said, well, I've got this idea. This is something that I've always wanted to do. And I pitched them an idea. And basically that idea was bringing in three very special guest artists with my local professional big band. And so we have basically a world-famous trumpet player coming in, a former teacher of mine and jazz director at a major music education university, as well as a very talented saxophone player. So there's not only is teaching full-time, that's my priority, teaching full-time, getting these students pumped up and excited about this concert. And in the meantime, we've also been renovating our auditorium specifically for this concert. There's a lot of things that needed to be moved. So we're working on clearing out the stage, and we're working on basically having video conferences with the students, with these guest artists, which was pretty awesome. You know, these guest artists, they don't do this very often, but we were able to call them using Skype and Hangtime and Hangouts and FaceTime. And we were basically, you know, students were able to meet the guest artists using technology in the classroom and literally get to meet them, ask them questions ahead of time. And none of this I probably would have thought of if I hadn't done the Google training and certified trainer program a few months ago. You know, I never really would have thought to do a video conference call with students to the guest artists and that type of thing. So it was really what worked out well. You know, there's no real issues there. You know, talking, you know, over Skype or FaceTime or something like that, it's always hit or miss and depending on your connection. And I think we lucked out pretty well as far as that goes. But so there's been a lot of things happening here at my school district. And so that's why certain things have sort of slowed down a little bit. For me, you know, it's when I'm able to do a live stream, I'm going to jump on and do a live stream. And if I'm not able to do that, then you know, there's other priorities that take effect. But we're going to keep cranking out these podcasts week after week. That is something that usually I can find time to do during the week. It's just at different times. And so we're gearing up for this concert on April 19th. It's going to be quite exciting. And a lot of work went into it. So that's why I haven't been sort of on the live stream as regular as I was about a month ago. Lots of things happening behind the scenes, so to speak. So thanks for your patience with that. And now I'm going to continue my progress here in ham radio. Now, ham radio, you know, some people are into it, some people are not into it, some people could care less. But as someone who knew nothing about it, was not really super interested in the radio communication part of it and antenna part of it. Basically, I just wanted to get a broad knowledge and opinion of ham radio. And this Saturday, I'm going to take my ham tech license so that I can operate ham radios at that level. And I may even just shoot for the general exam just for fun. I'm not expecting to pass that exam, but you never know. And we'll see where that goes. I may take the general in a few months once I get to study a little bit more. The general is a lot more complicated than the technical license. So, but I do want to be able to communicate on various frequencies, you know, whether it's VHF or UHF or even the high frequency radio waves. So I'm interested in learning about it. I still, you know, would not consider myself an expert by any means, but sort of kind of learning as I go. And right now, I do not have a radio, and I'm looking towards just using my cell phone for right now until maybe in the future I will buy a handheld radio or something like that. But in the meantime, some of the cool things that I've come across, and I talked a little bit about it last week. You know, I mentioned I wasn't really big on, you know, some people are into ham radio because they're, you know, the doomsday preppers or whatever you want to call them. Worst case scenario, people who keep the worst case scenario in mind. Basically, I was more curious about the electronics and you know, learning about how to read electronic schematics and you know, learning about transformers and capacitors and inductors and learning about frequencies and how they interact with certain things. And it has been a tremendous help understanding some music things, you know, as far as, you know, as musicians, we tune to A440 hertz. You know, and so all those different frequencies have different tones, related to them. And so sort of relates to the music world in some sense. So it was something that sort of grabbed my attention and then kept my attention as time went on. Today, I want to talk to you about a little bit about those emergency services that are available for ham radio. And I really found this interesting the more that I looked into it. So first of all, you know, ham radio, amateur radio, it's a it's a hobby for most people. It's something that, you know, people who are interested in electronics and communication, they can get together, they can sort of geek out and talk about things that they've built and things that they have worked on in their own house or in their cars or wherever. And, you know, there is a strong relationship between that and people who are interested in building computers, for instance. So that's why I bring this up on the podcast. So you can talk across town, you can talk across the world, you can even talk using satellites in space, you can talk to the space station. You don't need the internet, you don't need cell phones, although you can connect with your cell phone. So it's pretty awesome. It's social. There is an educational aspect to it as well. I would love to get my students, once we get a sort of computer technology group running at our school, I'd love to show my students some ham radio possibilities and maybe get a couple of students to take the test too eventually. So you can do this anywhere in the world. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about that I started learning more about is these emergency services. So the first one I want to talk about is the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, otherwise known as ARES. And what an awesome name to begin with, ARES. You know, as tech geeks, you know, doesn't get any better than that. I love, for instance, when things, just a side tangent, when acronyms make great names. I mentioned this a few times. I wanted to get together with local technology enthusiasts, so I made the page Upstate New York Technology Enthusiasts and spelled the word UNITE in a unique way. So, you know, I love when things like that when acronyms spell kind of cool things like ARES. It's just side tangent. Anyway, so ARES is the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. Basically, this is a group of licensed amateur radio operators who have voluntarily registered their equipment as a part of a local emergency service group. They these qualifications provide a specific communications duty in the case when there's a need for public service or if there's a disaster or strike of some kind. So basically, every licensed amateur, regardless of if they are part of the ARRL, which I mentioned last week, or any other national organization, they're eligible to apply for. So it's open to anyone. There may be some training involved to participate fully in the ARES program, but basically there are local level groups that come together to form a nationwide type of emergency service. And that's pretty awesome. If you think about it, if there were a need for an emergency communication of some kind, you know, our internet may go down or our cell phones. I have witnessed it myself in really heavy ice or our winter winds. You know, I've seen a tower collapse because of things like just the natural environment. And so when that happens, you lose your signal or you lose connection or whatever it is that you want. And so using the airwaves, using radio waves is pretty important for these types of situations. Most of these groups have emergency power equipment to keep their systems up and running, but it's not a requirement for membership itself. Basically, you fill out a form, you can be a part of this group, you contact your local emergency coordinator, and then you sort of create a network of other enthusiasts who are interested in this. And I know of a couple of groups locally, a couple of search and rescue groups that are really big into ham radio. You know, it's just another useful thing for them when it comes to searching for someone who may be lost in the woods or someone who may be stranded somewhere or basically search and recovery at that point. If they're looking for someone for an extended period of time, ham radio can be a benefit to them in the process. So it's pretty awesome. So we've talked a little bit about Aries, how you can voluntarily register for this if you have a ham license. And there are other emergency groups out there. And another group that I want to talk about is the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. Now, this is a little bit more regulated of an emergency group. This group, RACES, is the acronym for it. And this is basically a group that formed shortly after World War II. So the concept of a emergency service system put in place by the FCC was developed in 1952 with the ARRL and the Department of the Army, their Civil Defense Office. And during World War II, basically, that was the last time that amateur radio service was silenced. When the president puts in place the War Powers Act, okay? So when in an extreme situation, the president can put in a situation to ban all amateur radio traffic. And this, the last time it happened was during World War II. And times have changed since then, where we probably don't need to make that happen during wartime. You know, we have satellites now. We have so much more technology out there available to us that basically you're not going to be able to just shut down amateur radio at this point. It's going to be, you can take steps to make it more difficult, but there's no way that you're really going to be able to shut it down. And with all the technologies out there, it's almost useless to enact this War Powers Act, this portion of the War Powers Act. So basically in 1952, they all got together and came up with this emergency services group called RACES. And basically, this group consists of amateur radio operators who have previously registered with state and local governments to provide emergency radio communications in the times of emergency. So if the War Powers Act is enabled, then basically RACES will take over communications over ham radio, and they will provide any information that needs to be relayed on a need-to-know basis, basically. So basically, all other radio operations will be silenced, and RACES operations are restricted to certain frequencies for over the amateur band. So just another emergency service for instances, including natural disasters, technology disasters. You know, what if there were several cell phone towers that went down, for, let's say, could be nuclear accidents, could be nuclear attacks, terrorist incidents, anything in those situations where emergency services are needed. Basically, these licenses are issued to civil defense organizations for the most part. So it's a little bit more in line with local and federal governments, basically. But on top of these two emergency services, I've came across some other useful organizations for ham radio things that I never even considered living where I am. The first one is called the Hurricane Net. And the Hurricane Net is a group of amateur radio operators that are trained and organized to provide essential communications during hurricanes, you know, up and down whatever coastline, you know, may be most impacted by hurricanes. And they coordinate with the National Hurricane Center in times of hurricane emergencies. And so, again, another example of something useful that I never even considered as far as ham radio, just something, you know, in our area, it's blizzards that we deal with. And, you know, in other areas, it's tornadoes. And in other areas, it's hurricanes. So I'm sure that there are all sorts of organizations out there. And this is just a couple that I came across in preparing for today's podcast. So we have the Hurricane Watch Net, as well as another group called Saturn. And Saturn is the official emergency communications service of the Salvation Army. So basically, this is a group of licensed radio operators providing emergency communications for Salvation Army operators in the local, regional, and international disaster and emergency situations. Their mission is basically the same as other emergency services. In this case, some volunteers have voluntarily completed the FEMA Incident Command System training or the ARRL emergency training. Try saying those 10 times fast, by the way. The Salvation Army Incident Command training modules, where they're actually trained to go into a situation and deal with whatever may be happening at the time. They also can handle health and welfare requests too in times of emergency where normal communication fails. So this helps this group of Salvation Army really help local communities in times of need. And that's pretty awesome. All these different organizations, and I knew nothing about all of these different things. And, you know, I think it's important to just have these in the back of your mind just in case. You know, you never know when you might need something like this. And you know, chances are we never will. And like I said in the first episode, I'm not really one of the type to be, you know, the prepper type. But I think just having general knowledge is important. And I think ham radio does, even with all of our technology today, some people might think ham radio is going by the wayside. But I know a lot of people are still interested in it. And there are people out there who really love it and really enjoy it. So that is your opinion on what you think about ham radio. Thanks for listening to me as I continue my journey and learn more about it myself. I don't know how active I will be as a ham radio operator, but just having that license, I mean, how many licenses do you know of that basically is a lifetime license when you apply to it? I mean, the ham radio, once you pass the test, there's no renewal fee. The license itself is good for 10 years, and then you have to renew it just to let them know that you're still you still want to be that. The renewal is free, and they even give you a 2-year like buffer zone. So when your license expires, you have 2 years to renew it. And so they give you a wide range. It's not like you have a 30-day or 60-day deadline. You've got 2 years. You can't operate your equipment during that time, but all you have to do is just re-register and you're good to go. No fee. So it's lifetime membership. I mean, how often do we see that? You know, I don't know how many times I've had to renew things and pay a $100 fee or, you know, $60 fee for renewal. And it's just, this is just a $15 exam, and that's paying for the session, basically paying for the, you know, the test itself. You know, you get, this costs money to print paper and all these different things and get people involved. And and then it takes time to register and do a call sign. So they got to pay people to do those things. And, you know, 15 bucks isn't much these days. So this is where I'm going to end it here. I will update you next week and probably have a different topic. We'll see how it goes. And thanks for joining me on my journey. If you are a ham radio operator out there and you want to tell me your experiences, please feel free to send them to me. You can shoot me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com, or go to my website, www.mrptechreviews.com. Also, make sure to check out the website over at podnuts.com for all the other great shows on the network. It's a lot of fun listening to those shows as well. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. Next week and the weeks coming up soon are going to be very busy weeks for me, but I'm going to continue producing this podcast and moving forward. And hopefully at some point in time, I'll be able to jump back on the live stream, show you some really neat stuff in the video format. But that's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.